Father, we thank you for your confirmation, Lord. Thank you for your confirmation of tonight, of your plan for us, God, and your heart towards us, your heart, your love towards us, God, that is unstoppable, God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love that is unquenchable, Father. But it is also unconditional, God. Amen. And Father, you desire to put us back together, Father. You desire, Lord, to mend us, God. You desire, Father, to come and pour your waters, living waters, over and through us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Right, so tonight, I'm going to be sharing on, if the slides can come up. I forgot my title. No, that's just a joke. Talking about God is attractive. Who knows that? Who agrees with that? Who is attracted to God? Right? When you see God, you cannot but run to God. Amen? If you really see God, and we see it's the case with Jesus. But before we go there, a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks, how long? Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, we had the creationism talk, Homo Naledi. Who of you were at that talk? It was quite an awesome talk. Do you guys agree? Amen. Great stuff. And I was thinking, actually, before we had this, the evening, I was just thinking about that sort of a thing, creationism and apologetics. And I was actually considering the whole thing of beauty. And I thought of beauty as, you know, actually one of the arguments to prove that God exists, right? You know, there's lots of arguments. There's the moral argument that God exists. There's lots of arguments and ways to help people understand, people that are maybe intellectual, but they don't have a biblical background, to help them understand, but listen, God is real. Actually, there's quite a lot of ways. But I thought of beauty as the way to explain to someone that God is real. Now, think of it for a moment. I want to put you in a sort of a evolutionary mindset. Just think of, try and imagine being an evolutionist. So you've got two subjects. You've got a person and, let's say, a flower. Okay, so the person looks at the flower and he thinks, well, that's beautiful. There's something in that flower that attracts me. Now, just think about that for a moment. If you've got beings or creatures or whatever you want to call it that evolve from the same thing, how intelligent must that thing be for in the one being there to be an attraction to the other being, the other object? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is very intelligent. And of course, the conclusion there is there must be some intelligent designer to design two completely different objects with the one discovering something in the other one. Does it make sense? And actually, that's exactly what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches on the screen there, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Ever since God created the world, His invisible qualities, both His eternal power and His divine nature, have been clearly seen. They are perceived in the things that God has made. So those people have no excuse at all. So Scripture teaches that God is attractive. That's one of God's attributes. God is attractive. God is beautiful. And Jesus was attractive. We'll look at that just now. But I believe that God wants to, when God comes to us, when He rubs off on us, when we spend time with Him, we receive the attributes of God. So if you want to be attractive, turn to the person next to you and say to them, "You're looking good tonight." So we're specifically focusing on attraction in the sense of the word, where someone is drawn towards someone or something else. That's the sort of definition we're talking about in terms of attraction. And of course, when you talk about attraction, when you talk about beauty, Scripture says God is beautiful. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. We'll look at that just now. But obviously there's the wrong side and the twisted side of beauty, which the world understands beauty as, and you know, it comes in with lust and all of that. But the other side, the other bad twist on beauty or attraction is vanity. Okay? Now vanity is the excessive concern of the portrayal of the self. And vanity is birthed out of insecurity or a lack of love. Okay? That is vanity. So we're obviously not talking about vanity tonight, but we're talking about an attribute of God and that of beauty. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And actually one of the prophetic words tonight, cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. And there's a purity, there's a beauty in God and we discover in ourselves, which we're going to look at tonight still. Now, I don't know if you've realized, I was tempted on putting one of my BC pictures on the screen. I couldn't find it, I'm sorry. But I don't know if you remember when you came to Christ. You know, I had this massive afro, like Antonio, you know. but I remember getting saved, but also, I wish I could find the picture, maybe I'll bring it sometime else. But, you know, the picture, you know, I look so There's such a dullness. And I remember when I got saved, so many people came to me and said, "What's different? What's changed with you? Because there's something that physically changed." Or who of you have been on a mission and you come back and people say, "Wow, you look different." Who's sort of experienced that? And the reason why that happens is because, like I said, God rubs off on you. You spend time with God. If you connect with God, Your physical appearance even changes. If you don't believe me, go and ask Moses. You know, he went up the mountain and his physical face, his appearance changed. So I was sort of, the Lord put this on my heart to share this with you tonight. And I sort of, before I actually read the scriptures, and I realized that actually this is attraction is a very strong theme in scripture. Before I actually did the study, I was sort of a bit uncomfortable with talking about the subject, and I said to the Lord, "Why do you want me to share on this? Why is this on my heart?" And I felt the Lord said, "I want my people to look like me." So that I believe is God's word for you tonight. God wants us to look like Him. God wants us to resemble Him. Started right at the beginning, Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us create man in our image, the image of God." God placed his image. He chose man as a unique creation to resemble who he is to the world. And you and I have that privilege. And also, how much more if we are followers of God, if we believers. So I want to look at a couple of themes in scripture when it comes to attraction. And what does the scripture say? And the first one is the attraction of love. And two things I want to share there. And firstly, you know, Jesus was, before we get there, can you go to the next slide, please? People were attracted to Jesus. We see it right in Mark chapter 1, Gospel. Verse 28 says, "News about him spread very quickly over the whole region. The whole town gathered at the door. Everyone is looking for you," Peter said to Jesus. Verse 45, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. There's nowhere in the gospel where you find Jesus where there's not people around him. People were constantly attracted to Jesus. They just wanted to hang around him. Be with him. Because Jesus, and I don't want to go too long in this. Actually, in physical appearance, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 of Isaiah, it says that Jesus was not attractive in a physical way. You know, so I want to just, you know, take the plastic off tonight. All right? Jesus, according to the prophet, was not physically attractive, but yet people were around him all the time. people could just wanted to get closer to him. In fact, many times Jesus had to go to isolated places. He had to go across the lake to the other side so that he could have time alone with him and his disciples. And other times he went up the mountain just to have some alone time. There was there's a couple of places where it says that Jesus looked at the people and he had compassion. He had compassion for the multitudes. And that's part of what made Jesus attractive. Because he loved people. He loved people. And therefore, people were drawn to Jesus. But two things I want to just focus on when it comes to the attraction of love is what's necessary, firstly, is to love yourself. Is a self-love. To know who you are and who you've made to be. A healthy self-respect. Valuing yourself and by implication your time. Because you know your value does not come from social status or from your, you know, where you've come in your career, but it comes from your value from God, your identity in God. All right? So there's a place where you and I, we can only resemble who God is until, you know, when we understand who we are in God. We're secure in the fact that we belong to God. God owns us. And we are found, our identity is found in Him. Secondly, compassion. Thanks, Dono. Thanks, Dono. What a legend. I think I'm going to stand out of the light. You have to live in the light and come to church. All right, so firstly, that's much better. Compassion. Thanks, Dono. He's an attractive guy, don't you think? And what about the wife with the blonde hair? Don't you guys agree? The blonde hair. What an attractive couple. Actually, I was reminded of something very funny. A couple of years in Stellenbosch, in South Stellenbosch, actually, there were some vindictive people coming against the church. And some people came into the church and they everywhere came in and they wanted to look for something fault in church. So that they then did. Wrote an article in the newspaper saying bad things about the church. I can't remember all the bad things, but this is one thing that I found very funny. But one of the biggest criticisms that the guy could give about the church was that he said, all the people are very attractive. Now, I don't know how he thought, but he really thought that was a criticism of the church. All the people are like really attractive. He obviously doesn't know what God does. Just thought that, bring that in. But this compassion, coming back to the slides. Compassion, there's nothing more attractive. Think of the most attractive people, world known people, were compassionate people. People that could pour themselves out. Of course, Jesus being the main of most important of this. And think of the opposite. What is the opposite of compassion? The opposite is selfishness. Now, how unattractive is selfishness? You think of someone really selfish. You know, you don't want to connect with them. You want to stay away from them. It's not attractive to be selfish. And the other side is cold-heartedness. To have a cold heart is also not attractive. But compassion is attractive. That's what we see in Jesus. I love this one. Next slide, please. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. There was another scripture. Can you go back, please? Yes, there we go. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Jesus looked him hard in the eye and loved him. Isn't that powerful? Jesus looked him in the eye and he loved him. Just picture that moment. Jesus looking straight, and this he's talking about the thanks, is it that bad? Thank you so much. Some more compassion. Thank you, Tanash. I thought I won't bring my jacket tonight, but it's clearly not working. So Jesus looked him in the eye and he loved him. He's talking about the rich young ruler. And then he says to him what we perceive as one of the hardest words in Scripture. He says, if you don't sell everything right now, give up everything and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. But you know what? That wasn't just the truth that Jesus gave him there. It was the truth in love, because he looked him in the eye. And out of that love, looking at him in his eye, he said something and the only thing that was that could bring this man to salvation, because Jesus loved him. And in fact, we learn from church history that rich young ruler, after the scripture, it says he left because it was too hard, he couldn't do it. But church history tells us that he actually came back. And he was one, if you look in the book of Acts, it says that the apostles laid everything at the people laid everything at the apostles' feet in terms of money. And one of the men that laid a significant portion was the rich young man who actually came back to Christ. And now think of it. If Jesus hadn't spoken those words to him, maybe he would have never given his life to God. But Jesus looked at him and loved him. Another thing that the Holy Spirit just brought home, just to divert a bit from what we're talking about, is Jesus says to his disciples, go into the villages, go and preach, go and share the love of God, go and heal the sick, go and cleanse the lepers. But then he says something very strange. He says, when you go, come into a place, when they receive you, it's like they're receiving me. But when they don't receive you, then go out of that place, shake off the dust off your feet and leave. Then he says, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than that place that rejects you, because they don't reject you, they're rejecting me. And what I really believe that we as Christians so often want to do today is we want to shake off the dust off our feet. We want to condemn groups of people because they're rejecting Christ, because they're not open, because they post gospel or post whatever excuse that we've come up. But I want to turn the question around: is have we been in their homes? Have we asked them, can we come into where you are at? Can we come into your space? And I think that's part of what I'm saying here tonight is God wants us to be inviting people. God wants us to be open people. I think so often when we talk about evangelism, we bring up the word evangelism. I think often our fears come to the fore. I think often we think, shucks, you know, what am I going to say? You know, what if they reject me? All of those things. But I think right at the core of the of that response that we have is, I don't think they're going to like me. I don't think that what I have is enough. I don't think that I'm attractive enough in God. I'm not talking about physical appeal. I'm talking about that attraction that God has in us. Am I making sense tonight? All right? So I really want us to open up our hearts, and especially if you're that person. When we say evangelism, you're like, oh, no, not for me. It's only for certain people. One-fifth of people. One-fifth of people, evangelism. All right? That's not true. If you read your word, we all know that's not the case. So I want to encourage you, open up your heart. Say, God, is that a lie right there? Is there a lie that I believe about myself that you want to address tonight and change me? Look at the person next to you and ask them the question, do you think I'm attractive? And it's a rhetorical question. You have to say, yes, I do think so. Oh my goodness. I'm seeing some opportunistic people here. I won't call them by name. They clearly don't believe that lie. That's great. Okay, next one. Attraction of being at rest. Let me go back. I skipped one. Attraction of being of presence, of being present. Being present to people. I think often we struggle with this. I struggle with this one. Being present. When I'm in a situation, I always think about the next and the next and the next thing. But I'm not present to where God was. And it's once again that picture of Jesus. He looks the guy in the eyes, and he's present to him. How often are we present to each other? How often are we present to God? Are we running in our minds to the next thing and the next thing and the next plan and the next thing I want to see get done or do? Or are we present to the moment, like Jesus was present to that man? Next, attraction of being at rest. I'm going to speed up. We're going to worship tonight still. Attraction of being at rest. Scripture there says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And like I said earlier, hardening of heart, coldness of heart is unattractive. Today, if you hear his voice, and what this speaks about, what this whole issue of rest is, and we can share a whole sermon on this. But rest is a place in ourselves. Rest is not something that we do, okay, we're done with exams, now we can go on holiday. Or, you know, if you're working, it's that one thing that you're looking ahead for the whole year. December. That is not rest. Rest is a place on the inside. And rest actually is just another way of saying you're whole. It's I'm whole on the inside. I'm fine with who I am. I'm fine with myself. And you know what? In that place, you and I can, like I said, you can do anything for God. You're able to do anything. Because you know what? And you never grow tired. You never get burnt out. We so often talk about burnt outness. But burnt outness is because of strife. Because of things that we do because we feel we have to do it. Things that we do because we feel we have to please God and please our parents and please people around us. That is all strife. But if you're whole, then you're satisfied with who you are. You're content on the inside. That's why the scripture there says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness means being like God, being like Jesus, looking at Jesus. New Testament says that Jesus is the image of God. So that which we spoke about earlier, the image of God. If you want to look at how God looks, you look at Jesus. Okay, so godliness and contentment. Contentment is where we completely and wholly satisfied with what we have externally and internally. Where I'm at, I'm completely fine with where God has placed me because he's placed me here. And I know him because he's my father. He takes care of me. He's got absolutely everything under control. And he wants the best for me. Because I know all of this, I'm secure in all these truths. I can say it, but, you know, I'm content. I'm happy. Contentment is not being satisfied with little. Contentment is being at peace with who you are in yourself. Then the next one. Jesus often talks about fruit. He says, I desire to see fruit. John the Baptist says something. He says it's called fruit worthy of repentance. There's something that you produce that people can see because it's an outward thing. People can recognize it. Because of who you are, but because of a place that you've taken in that you've changed, you've repented, you've turned. And now people can see fruit. And Jesus always also talks, he talks about good fruit and he talks about bad fruit. All right? Now, good fruit, if you just think in the natural, if you see good fruit, nice, juicy, I don't know, what's a good fruit? Peach. Mango, that's a good one. Lychee, what's another good fruit? Banana, strawberries. Right. Grapes. Lots of good fruit. It's attractive, right? Otherwise, why would you make the effort? All right? Now, that's one of the things that make you and I as believers attractive is the fruit that you and I produce. Look at what Jeremiah says. He's like a tree planted, and it's talking about those who trusted God. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its root by the stream, and it does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So it's that picture of bearing good fruit. Jesus says that his Father is the vine dresser. He comes to us and he prunes off the branches that do not bear fruit. Now, if you look at a tree and there's dead branches, it makes the tree ugly. But if you cut them off and the new green leaves come through, it means, you know, it can produce fruit again. It means there's life. It means it looks attractive again. Don't you agree? So attractiveness, or fruitfulness, is attractive. Then, next one, attraction of a pure heart. Like I said earlier, Psalm 96 verse 9 says, worship him, worship God in the beauty of holiness. Firstly, once again, God is beautiful. The more we spend time with him, the more we draw near to him, the more he draws near to us, influences us, rubs off on us. But then it also goes on and it says, the holiness of God, holiness, someone defined it once as the otherness of God. The fact that we human beings and God is different from us. Because we're at essence, when we get into this world, we're sinful. But God is separate from sin. He does this. Sin and God cannot go together. God doesn't have sin. But not just that, he can't live with sin. So that's the otherness of God. So holiness is when you and I come, and we can't do it by ourselves, we can't do it by work, but when we come into Christ, we take the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He makes us righteous, and he works through us by his Holy Spirit, a process of sanctification where we can stand in the midst of God, where we can stand in his presence, and we adopt, like the scripture said earlier, his divine nature becomes our divine nature. He imparts of who he is into our lives, and we're changed. A pure heart. Once again, impurity is very unattractive. Holiness is attractive. The next one, attraction of a clean heart. Look at the scripture there, Hebrews 12. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That was the prophetic word that came out earlier. A clean heart. Now, it speaks here about a heart that is bitter. A heart that is bitter. So, any sort of bitterness, maybe one has been wrong. Maybe there's unforgiveness. You haven't been able to forgive. That bitterness defiles us. There's also, you know, especially for Christians, something we call a bitter judgment, where you feel wronged, and because you're wronged, you begin to judge people, and that starts a cycle where your heart becomes impure. And soon after, a bitter person, I don't know if you've seen someone that's really bitter on the inside, it eventually results in the body language changing. It results in physical change. I'm seeing some people nodding. We've all met those people. They're so bitter, and many times, you know, like very old people, you know, when we're young, we can sort of hide the bitterness. But when people are like very old, the inhibitions go and the bitterness just comes out. I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it's really unattractive. But you can see these people are really hurting. But that impurity is what Scripture says. If we don't deal with that bitterness, it becomes impurity in our hearts and it affects us. So deal with the bitterness. Bring it to God. Say, God, you know, come and clean my heart. Come and cleanse my heart. Come and, you know, and firstly make a decision. Say, you know, I'm choosing not to, to become judging, because that's the fruit of a bitter heart is judgment. All right? The fruit of Christ is love, kindness, long-suffering, all of these. We just spoke about them. Go and read them. But a bitter heart, God wants to come and heal. James also says, you know, bitter and sweet waters cannot come from the same fountain. Okay? A fountain is our heart. So the things that we speak, you cannot, if your heart is not clean, then what you will speak will be a result of what is in your heart. So if your heart's bitter, you're going to speak death. Even if you try and make it sound nice, that is what's going to come out. But when your heart is pure, when your heart is clean, that is what comes out. And it's also that which, you know, resembles. The same way that bitterness, you know, manifests in our body, if I can use that word, the same as a clean heart. A pure heart. You know, think of Jesus. Jesus was pure. Right. Someone who is attractive, someone who enjoys life is attractive, don't you agree? Someone who is content, someone with purpose, don't you agree? Someone with purpose is attractive. You want to follow that person. You want to go with them. You want to run with them. You know, and go with them. But you need a pure heart, a clean heart to walk in all those things. Then the second last one, this is a bit of a out-of-the-box one, is the attraction of places. You know how many times I've found this in Scripture, where there's places, physical places on earth that is attractive. And God actually made it that way. And in fact, that's why the temples in the Old Testament is such an important thing. That's why they made the temples of gold, so that the peoples would be attracted to it. The promised land, God said to them, it will be a land of milk and honey. It will be an attractive place. Lamentations 2 verse 15 says, is this the city of which they said the perfection of beauty, a joy to all the earth? Now places can be attractive, and God can make places attractive. Go and read up about Jerusalem. God had placed his presence on that place. It says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. I hope some of you are getting that. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. So God brings attraction even to places. You know, I believe one of the things that God is saying over our churches is he wants to make it an attractive place. He wants people to want to come. When they hear, okay, this church happening or church event, they want to say, well, I want to go there because, and in fact, that's one of the prophecies. If you read Micah, it says, in the last days, the people will go up to the house of God. They'll say, you know, who are you? Show us, where do we go? Where do we get to the house of God? Because we want to go there. There's something that draws us. We don't understand it, but there's a supernatural attraction that we feel to God's house. I believe that God wants to do that. And then finally, I'm going to end off here. Attraction of people groups. I just touched on that just now. Attraction of people. Bible says they will know you. They will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Jesus says there's something in that dynamic in you loving one another that will make people identify you as a group differently than any other group. There's many other groups out there. I don't know if you've noticed. Very other group with very strong agendas, very strong strategies, very strong agendas and schemes and plans, and you know they're very clever. But you know what? God's people have something so much greater. We've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We've got the fact that God is with us. God is in our midst. And because of that, people are attracted to us. And I want to really encourage you, and that's what tonight is about a confidence. And I think that's the thing that is lacking, is we don't realize what we have. We're not confident in what we have in Christ. We're not confident to go out there and to know, listen, I can just be. amongst people and people will be attracted to me. I want to actually put that challenge before you. When you go to some sort of social gathering or someplace, pray before and say, Holy Spirit, I receive your presence. I come into your presence. And you go into that place and you just be yourself. Just do that. Test that. And we're going to talk about that after. We'll have some testimonies afterwards. All right? But let's trust that. But there's a confidence that I believe that believers need to walk in. I think we're so often so shy. We're so reserved. We're actually scared. We're a bit scared of what we have in Christ. And you'll know it by the way you speak in front of unbelievers. If you speak differently in church than you do outside there, it means that you're a bit uncomfortable. If you don't tell people the testimonies of God in your life, it means you're a bit ashamed. All right? It's a bit of a hard way of saying it. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. I know who I am. I know I represent the King of Kings. I know who is in me. I know that what I have, you need. And if you can really just see it, if it can just give you a glimpse of it, you'll be attracted to it and you'll want it. I love that saying. I forgot who said it. But everyone wants a king like Jesus. Everyone is attracted to Jesus, whether they recognize it or not. That's why the world hates Christians. Because there's something, it's this playoff between sin, but they know Jesus is the focal point. Pastor Fred was spending some time with us earlier this week. But every major agenda in the world is anti-Christian. It's actually just against Christians. But they know that Jesus is the focal point. So if we can just get people distracted, because actually, we just don't want to deal with what's inside of us, the sin and the anger and whatever that's inside of us. But we actually know the answer is Jesus. Actually, the world knows it. The world really knows it. It's just about us going in there, being ambassadors of God, representing the image of God to people so that they can see a glimpse of God. Won't you stand with me tonight? Ben, can please come up. We're going to pray a prayer just now. But before we do that, we're going to just give over to Matthew.
Just want to ask to close our eyes. Going to have a moment with the Lord. The Lord has brought us here for a purpose. The Bible says that God does everything for a purpose. And the Lord has sent His word for a purpose. The Bible says He sent His word and His word healed them. Just want to ask if there is some of us that are struggling to reflect the nature of God in such a manner that when you think of yourself, you are able to say that you're not attractive in the sense of just reflecting the glory of God. Pastor Lee gave the example of Moses when he went to the mountain, when he could come down from that mountain, his face was shining. And some of us are in that place of being ashamed of to share the gospel because of the lack of that glory. Because of the lack of just being able to reflect the glory of God. And if your desire this afternoon is to be able to reflect the glory of God, to be attractive because you carry the presence of God with you, just want you to put your hands up. And secondly, if you are here and you know that there is no way for you to reflect that glory because there haven't been that relationship with God, you've never maybe given your heart to the Lord. Maybe you've been attending church many times, you grew up religiously, and you really want to decide today, like, Lord, I don't want to be as a person that remains in stories, but I want to be real with you. I want to give my heart to you in the midst of your people. Just want to encourage you to put your hands up. Just want to ask you to come forward and we're going to pray together with you. Come. Don't be shy.